in living in a place like Detroit.
Rachel, you were in Detroit. You showed Detropia to at a fundraiser for WDET, a public radio station in Detroit. What has been the response of the people here to how you portray their city?
I think it's very painful for them to watch. The people that are left are usually first, second, third generation Detroiters. I think that the whole process has been extremely painful. They feel abandoned by corporate America. They feel abandoned by the promise of a better life. But they know it's true. They think, you know, we were accurate in their experience. And I think that ultimately they want the rest of the world to see that.
I want to thank you very much for being with us, Rachel Grady. She is co-director of the film Detropia that is now out now in theaters around the country. And that does it for our broadcast as we continue our 100-city election 2012 Silence Majority Tour in Michigan. Today at noon, I'll be speaking here in Grand Rapids at the Wealthy Theater, 1130 Wealthy Street Southeast. Then tonight at 6 p.m. in Chicago at the Columbia College Conaway Center at 1104 South Wabash Street. On Thursday at 7, we'll be in Madison, Wisconsin at the Barrymore Theater. Then on Friday at noon in Eau Claire at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation at 421 South Farwell Street. On Friday night with the Lacoudere Band of Lake Superior Ojibwe in Hayward, Wisconsin at the Flat Creek Inn and Suites, Highway 27 South. On Saturday night at 7 p.m., we'll be in Minneapolis, Minnesota at the Wesley United Methodist Church, 101 East Grand Street. You can check out the details of our site, of the entire tour at tour.democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltzer, Amate Nirmin Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Masood, Ravi Karan, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield. I'm Amy Goodman in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Thanks so much for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
This is Donna with your WUSB concert billboard for Tuesday, September 18th. The All-American Rejects, A Boys Like Girls, will be at the Paramount in Huntington, 8 p.m. Mike Doughty, Residency with the Kennedys, will be at City Winery in New York City, 8 p.m. The People's Open Mic will be at the Grey Horse Tavern in Bayport, 7 p.m. The Robert Cray Band will be at B.B. King's Manhattan, 8 p.m. Your concert billboard for Wednesday, September 19th. Austra will be at the Music Hall of Williamsburg in Brooklyn, 9 p.m. Randy Jackson, an acoustic show, will be at the Emporium in Patchogue, 7:30. Live Art Fusion with the Ken Talv Trio will be at Nissen Sushi of Woodbury, 7 p.m. Two Daves will be at the Rosewood Inn in Melville. Donald Harrelson's Quantum Leap will be at the Jazz Standard for two shows, 8 and 10:30. This is your WUSB concert billboard for Thursday, September 20th. Larry Carlton will be at the Bolton Center in Bayshore, 8 p.m. The Offspring will be at the Paramount in Huntington Village, 8 p.m. Reed Waddle will be at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington, 7:30. Carrie Carney will be at the Long Beach Jazz Festival at the Long Beach Public Library Auditorium in Long Beach, 7 p.m. The Bread Freeze, Leah Kay, and the Well Diggers will be at 89 North in Patchogue, 8 p.m. Tedeschi Trucks Band with Leon Russell will be at the Beacon Theater in Manhattan, 8 p.m. And that's your concert billboard.
Listening to radio station, what is this place? WUSB in Stony Brook. It's 6:01. Time once again for Off the Wall. Thank you. Hey, the theme's almost over. I can't remember the last time we played the entire theme without talking over it. How about that? I'm sorry, I got distracted. I was reading the paper and I totally spaced out on turning the microphone on and speaking and things. Plus, a lot of things are broken again, and we're trying to sort that out. It's all sorted for now. Greetings. It's Manuel Goldstein, and it's Off the Wall. And we're here for the next, 46 minutes or so. This bit of public service important news, there is a tornado watch. I don't get to say that very often, but yeah, in the entire region is a tornado watch. I guess if you see a tornado, watch out. I don't know what you're supposed to do. We don't get this kind of thing here very much at all. It used to be just the conservative states got tornadoes, and I always said that as the nation moved further to the right, that these things would spread. And sure enough, we had a tornado in New York a couple of weeks ago. And now we have tornado watches and various things like that. Nobody knows what to do. Nobody knows what to do. I imagine we don't have guidelines. Things aren't really handed out to us. But I would imagine that there's certain common sense things that kick in. If you see a funnel cloud, don't run towards it. Don't stick your head out of the window if there's a tornado around you. I think you're supposed to stay underneath doorways and things like that, right? That's what my cat does when there's high winds or thunder or things like that. So I follow the animals. They seem to know what's going on, all right? And if they go to a certain place, it's probably the safest place in the house. If you hear the sound of a freight train coming towards your house and you do not live near freight train tracks, that probably is a tornado coming or a really lost freight train. Either way, it's probably best for you to stay away from the windows and go someplace where what happens? The whole house collapses on you if you are in the basement or underneath the doorway? Yeah, but I guess it doesn't fall on you or something like that because that door frame is going to hold everything else up. I don't understand the theory behind it, but don't climb a tree. Don't run around the field. Don't try and find your dog who's run away and ride on a bicycle and wind up in a weird place. No, common sense. Common sense. We don't have a lot of common sense, I know. Stupidity, it rules the world. It really does. You know, we need stupidity. There's no question about that. I think that will be what I focus on most tonight is just how stupidity, the role stupidity plays in our world, because we've seen an awful lot of stupidity this week. Oh my goodness, we have seen so much of it. It boggles the mind. I'd like to get into that. But first, there's something a bit more important. Yes, you see, there's a darkness coming. It's been dormant for quite a while, actually. It's been hidden away in a far-off secret place. But we've all known that at some point, the two sides will meet. The sides of darkness, the sides of light, the sides of enlightenment and the sides of ignorance. And this ultimate battle is almost upon us now. And while I was living in fantasy land hoping that this would be something I could avoid for a bit longer, reality hit me. It hit me last Wednesday, in fact. You see, they've been putting up these traffic cameras everywhere throughout Suffolk County, and they really annoy me because, first of all, They make people drive in an unsafe manner. I know they're supposed to make people drive in a safe manner, but they do exactly the opposite, because when there's a traffic camera at an intersection and the light turns yellow, everyone slams on their brakes, and people are just overly paranoid, thinking that if they do the slightest thing wrong, they're going to get a ticket. They're going to get an automated, computerized robot ticket, and they wind up being ultra-paranoid and obeying every single law, regardless of how silly it is. For instance, if you don't make a complete stop before making your right on red, if you move even an inch, they'll catch you, and you'll get that ticket in the mail. Oh, it's always a bad feeling. Or... they're always flashing. Even when nobody is doing anything, they're flashing. And that's annoying too, because imagine you're at an intersection at night and all of a sudden this blinding, flashing white light is in your face. That can make you distracted too, which is not a good thing to happen at an intersection. I know, I took a traffic safety course over the weekend, completely unrelated to this, to get an insurance discount. I'll talk about that in a second, too, when I get more into the stupidity section. But I always knew there would be, at some point, a conflict. A confrontation, if you will, between my way of living and these robotic dictators that are always watching us and trying to catch us doing something wrong. And so the other night I was driving, it was late at night, very late at night, and I was making a left turn. I was making a left turn from one road onto another. And you know how in this country, you can't just make a left turn anymore. You have to wait for the left arrow to tell you you can make a left turn. All right, fair enough, because we can't be trusted to say, there's no traffic coming, I can make the left turn now, we've got to wait for the thing to cycle through or sense that you're sitting there and say, okay, you can go, and everybody else has to wait for you, even though there's nobody else there. Okay, you know, I buy into all that. Not a problem. Except in this early morning when nobody else was around, a couple of cars, certainly nobody going my way, I sat there. And then the light changed for the traffic going the other direction. And then it changed back. And I didn't get my arrow. I didn't get the arrow. And so I waited for more cars to come in the other direction, and the light changed, and they went their merry way. And the light changed back. And I didn't get my arrow. Two cycles, no arrow. Sitting there, watching the world go by. It happened again. The light changed. Everybody went. The light changed back. No arrow. And so I did the only thing that any man could do in such a situation. And I checked to make sure no traffic was coming in my direction. Saw that it was safe to proceed. And just like my ancestors and the people before them, I made a left on a green light without waiting for the damn arrow. And the robots were on me. I saw the flash. I knew that I had been captured. My license plate had been recorded as having done something illegal. I made a left turn against a red light, and as soon as I went through that intersection, it was recorded for all the computers and accountants and bureaucrats and all sorts of people and machines to ponder and to condemn. And so now, as I sit here tonight, I vow, I swear, that no matter how far this goes, I will not pay such a fine. Oh no. Logic was on my side. I did the only thing anyone could do. And you weren't there. And nobody was there. and the computers only know one thing. They don't know what it feels like to sit at a light for three cycles waiting for an arrow that never comes. So the ticket has not arrived yet. Maybe the ticket never will arrive. Maybe there is some sense inside the system, but somehow I doubt it. And when that ticket does come, I guarantee you a fight like you've never seen before. That's all, really. It was just, a trivial thing that happened. But it kind of annoyed me. It really did. Very annoying. Trying to just drive and be left alone and to be, first of all, ignored by a traffic light and then accused of something by a flashing light. It's a bit much. It really is a bit much. But yeah, I said that I took a driver safety course. I did this completely unrelated because I wanted to get the 10% off insurance. And you can do this. Anyone can do this, assuming you have a driver's license, that is. You can do it online now. I'd never done it online before, and that sort of appealed to me. 6 hours. You don't have to do it all at once. In fact, you can do it and stop and basically do it as often or as little as you want over the course of a month. And once you finish, you get a little certificate, and that's good for 10% off for 3 years. Thing is, who keeps track of 3 years? If it was every year, you'd know you're supposed to do this every year. But, I don't have like a calendar or a watch that says, oh boy, the 3 years are almost up. Time for me to take the course again. Nobody tells you unless you look at the little fine print on your insurance policy every year. So apparently I hadn't done this in a long time, and it was easy enough. Easy is one thing. Yeah, it was very simple. But it was boring. It took a long time. It never seemed to end. And they keep hammering things into your head that are common sense. Okay, drinking and driving is bad. It must have been 3 hours of the course basically devoted to that concept being pounded into your head in various ways. Alcohol content of certain drinks, the effect of various behavior, statistics, all sorts of things like that. And in the end, they basically just ask you a couple of questions to prove that you got it, such as something as stupid as you can drink and drive never, often, always, sometimes, things like that. Which one do you think it is? And the thing throughout all of this that kind of bugged me, as a publisher and somebody who proofreads, all the grammatical mistakes, all the punctuation errors, all the things that just sort of contradicted itself really annoyed me, and there was no opportunity to give feedback. In fact, I even printed out a few pages, or I thought I was printing out a few pages of some of the most egregious examples, but turns out it was using some kind of proprietary software that disabled the printing, so I wound up with a bunch of blank pages. Should have checked the printer, I know, but I was so busy in the course. Here's an example. I did print out some of the final points. You are allowed to print out the summations at the end of each chapter, to review for the four-question exam that I think domesticated animals could get right. But get this. Tell me if you can see the problem with this sentence. There are 8 different colors for traffic signs. Octagon, stop signs, horizontal rectangle, guide signs, equilateral... You got it? Yeah? Yeah. 8 different colors? They're not listing colors. They're listing shapes. 8 different colors. Octagon, horizontal, equilateral, diamond, pentagon... Really? How hard is it to get that right? And they don't even get that right either. Here's something else. They went into this. I remember this in one of the chapters. They went into this whole big thing about warning signs and the importance of warning signs and the shape. Railroad crossing signs are the only warning signs that are round. Did you know that? Yeah, they're the only ones that are round. All other warning signs are diamond-shaped. In the very next paragraph, they then go on to school crossing signs, being however many sides they are. What, 5 sides? Is that what they are? 5-sided warning signs. In the very next sentence, they contradict themselves and introduce a sign that is a warning sign that is not diamond-shaped and is not a circle, after telling you those are the only 2 kinds you could possibly have. That annoyed me. The other thing that they do that really bugs me, and everybody does this, everybody does a PowerPoint presentation. Everybody in corporate America seems to like to do this kind of thing, where they make little letter arrangements that's supposed to make things easier for you to memorize and recite back. And most of the time, it's complete nonsense. It's not something you have to memorize in the first place, or it's something that is not particularly easy. Of course, as I'm looking at this, I'm seeing the easiest one. Okay, how about this one? The three E's. Yeah, the three E's, a philosophy addressing the prevention of motor vehicle crashes that incorporates education, engineering, and enforcement as techniques to prevent motor vehicle crashes. You know, I thought I'd mark down the other ones. But there are things that spell out non-words. And it's really... Yeah, it's really a bit much. But I got my degree, I guess, in safety. But you have to sit through all kinds of nonsense and be bored to death. There was a whole chapter. I'm not kidding. The title was, "What is a stop sign?" What is a stop sign? I had to sit through that. And you can't read too fast. If you read too fast, you get scolded and put back and you have to wait there for a minute and 10 seconds sitting on that same page before you can go on to the next one. Oh, here we are. well, first of all, there's all these different acronyms, such as DWI, there's driving under the influence, DUI. Did you ever hear of this one? DWAI. DWAI, a person may be charged with driving while ability impaired if in control of a motor vehicle with a BAC. Oh, you don't know what a BAC is. You have to go back and find out that's blood alcohol concentration. Yes. And if you have a BAC between 0.05 and 0.07, then you can be charged with a DWAI, as opposed to when you can be charged with a DWI or a DUI. And all these other acronyms and nonsensical things that you really don't have to know about. You just have to know the facts. That it's really stupid to drive while drinking, or after drinking, or while drunk, or any of that. All the acronyms in the world are not going to get through someone's head. They're just going to make them fall asleep. And you're not supposed to do that and drive either. That's a whole other thing. Here's one of the corporate acronyms, though, that make no sense. The SNDRAR, I think, is how they said it on the page. Drivers use... Well, that's more than four. They use four methods to cope with emotional trauma, including shock, numbing, denial, recoil, and impact, attribution, and resolution. Yeah, that sounded like a lot more than four methods. But I'll let that one go. Here's another one, another classic. Organs of the body that alcohol affects are the brain, stomach, liver, and vision. Did you know vision was an organ? I didn't know that. If being passed... Do not speed up. I never knew that before. I always thought when you were being passed, it was kind of like a challenge, sort of like a race, and you had to pass them before they passed you. Who knew? When approaching a railroad crossing, slow down and be prepared to stop. Well, that makes sense. But they go on. A driver must stop at least 15 feet from the train tracks because a train needs a stopping distance between half a mile and 1.5 miles or more to stop. I think I know what they're getting at, but stopping 15 feet away from a train crossing has nothing to do with the speed of the train and how long it takes it to stop. There actually was a section in there or a page that said, "Do not park on train tracks." That's 6 hours of my life I'm never going to get back. But 10%. All right, stupidity. We were going to talk about stupidity. Well, we did a little bit. But there's more stupidity. Okay, this guy, Mitt Romney, I love it. I love the campaign season when all sorts of things happen. But wow, this is kind of unbelievable. Did you hear about this? This whole Mother Jones thing. They're the ones who uncovered this secret video of Mitt Romney telling millionaire donors what he really thinks of Obama voters. Yeah, now, apparently, this was earlier this year. Looking for a date. I don't see an exact date, but During the private fundraiser, which was sometime earlier this year, Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney told a small group of wealthy contributors what he truly thinks of all the voters who support President Barack Obama. He dismissed these Americans as freeloaders who pay no taxes, who don't assume responsibility for their lives, and who think government should take care of them. Sounds a lot like the people he hangs out with. But no, he's talking about poor people, not rich people. He's talking about poor people. Fielding a question from a donor about how he could triumph in November, this is what Romney said. Actually, can we play that? Are we actually able to do that? Let's see if this works.
There are 47% of the people who will vote for the president no matter what. All right, there are 47% who are with him, who are dependent upon government, who believe that they are victims, who believe that government has a responsibility to care for them, who believe that they are entitled to health care, to food, to housing, to you name it. But it's an entitlement, and government should give it to them. And they will vote for this president no matter what. And I mean, the president starts off with 48, 49, 43. He starts off with a huge number. These are people who pay no income tax. 47% of Americans pay no income tax. So our message of low taxes doesn't connect. And he'll be out there talking about tax cuts for the rich. I mean, that's what they sell every 4 years. And so my job is not to worry about those people. I'll never convince them that they should take personal responsibility and care for their lives. What I have to do is convince the 5 to 10% in the center that are independent, that are thoughtful, that look at voting one way or the other, depending upon, in some cases, emotion, whether they like the guy or not.
Yeah, wow, I can't believe that actually worked. So, that's pretty much what he feels about the people who are opposed to him, that they're a bunch of freeloaders. They'll vote for Obama no matter what. They think healthcare is an entitlement. Wow, the nerve to actually believe that healthcare is something they have a right to. How dare they? What do they think this is? Europe? Civilized society? No. My job is not to worry about those people. Well, you got that right, and you're doing a damn good job of it. So Mother Jones obtained a video of Romney at this intimate fundraiser where he candidly discussed his campaign strategy and foreign policy ideas in stark terms he doesn't use in public. And they've confirmed his authenticity. They blurred out some of the image. There's actually video, too, of this. And they're not going to identify the date or the location of the event, which occurred sometime after Romney had clinched the Republican presidential nomination. And actually, they since updated that. They say that they can now release a date. They say, okay, it was at the Boca Raton home of controversial private equity manager Mark Leder on May 17th. And they've since removed the blurring from the video. Okay, well, that's good. So, yeah, you know, it's what I don't get, and this is really something stupid for a presidential candidate. Even if you're at some rich guy's house, I don't care if you're on the toilet. I don't care if you're sleeping. Everything you say is going to be on the public record at some point. It's going to come out. So you can't say things that you don't mean for the whole world to hear. And I haven't heard what Romney actually said about this, if he's embarrassed, if he's trying to backtrack, or if he's being defiant. At this point, I think the latter is the only thing he can possibly do. Now, asked why he wouldn't go full throttle and assail Obama as corrupt, Romney explained the internal thinking of his campaign and revealed that he and his aides, in response to focus group studies conducted by his consultants, were hesitant to hammer the president too hard out of fear of alienating those independents who voted for Obama in 2008. Can we bring up the audio again?
We speak with voters across the country about their perceptions. Those people I told you, the 5 to 6 or 7% that we have to bring on our side, they all voted for Barack Obama 4 years ago. So, and by the way, when you say to them, do you think Barack Obama is a failure, they overwhelmingly say no. They like him, but when you say, are you disappointed that his policies haven't worked, they say yes. And because they voted for him, they don't want to be told that they were wrong, that he's a bad guy, that he did bad things, that he's corrupt. Those people that we have to get They want to believe they did the right thing, but he just wasn't up to the task. They love the phrase that he's over his head. But if we're, but you see, you and I, we spend our day with Republicans. We spend our days with people who agree with us. And these people are people who voted for him and don't agree with us. And so the things that animate us are not the things that animate them. And the best success I have is speaking with those people is saying, you know, the president's been a disappointment. He told you he'd keep unemployment below 8%, hasn't been below 8% since. 50% of kids coming out of school can't get a job. 50%. 50% of the kids in high school in our 50 largest cities won't graduate from high school. What are they going to do? And these are the kinds of things that I can say to that audience that they nod their head and say, yeah, I think you're right. What he's going to do, by the way, is try and vilify me as someone who's been successful or who's you know, closed businesses or laid people off and isn't an evil bad guy. And that may work.
Or you could just stick your foot in your mouth yourself, and that might work too. He also, in reply to a donor that expressed disappointment that Romney wasn't attacking Obama with sufficient intellectual firepower, Romney said the campaign trail was no place for high-minded and detail-oriented arguments.
Well, I wrote a book that lays out my view for what has to happen in the country. And people who are fascinated by policy will read the book. We have a website that lays out white papers on a whole series of issues that I care about. I have to tell you, I don't think this will have a significant impact on my electability. I wish it did. I think our ads will have a much bigger impact, and the debates will have a big impact. And my dad used to say being right early is not good in politics. In a setting like this, a highly intellectual subject on a whole discussion of a whole series of important topics typically doesn't win elections. For instance, this president won because of hope and change.
All right. Well, that's most of it. There's more, obviously, but it's great to hear what people really think. Romney, according to this AP story, struggled today to stabilize his reeling presidential campaign after that secretly recorded video showing him belittling Obama's supporters as victims who are too dependent on government after that was revealed. I just assume that even the closed-door fundraisers, you simply saw what happened there. The video got released somehow. I didn't know that it was kept secret. But fortunately, somebody did record this and was able to leak it. What do you say about Palestinians? Okay, I look at the Palestinians not wanting to see peace anyway for political purposes, committed to the destruction and elimination of Israel and these thorny issues, and I say there's just no way. Yeah, you know, it would be great if this went on for hours, and who knows what else could be revealed. But boy, yeah, that's... That is something, and maybe the campaign will be more interesting and confrontational. Kind of like that when it happens. Not the smartest move, though. Not the smartest move to say those kinds of belittling things. Did you think it wasn't going to be used against you at some point? Okay. Now, you know, there's a lot more stupidity going on in the world. We did our 9/11 show last week, and... Unfortunately, 9/11 turned out to be another day of violence this year with the attack in Libya of the United States Embassy and the killing of the United States Ambassador. And, you know, I looked it up. And it was kind of hard to find out this information, but I eventually found it. How many U.S. ambassadors have been killed in the line of duty? And it has not happened since 1979. And I believe there were five, maybe six ambassadors killed within the period of 11 years in that period, from the 60s into the 70s. So, yeah, you know, we lived in a completely different time back then, where there was all kinds of upheaval and violence of various sorts. You know, hijackings, for instance. There were dozens, hundreds even, of hijackings in the 60s and 70s. It's unheard of today. And when it happens, it's a very big deal. So, yeah, you know, this isn't anything new, but it still is something that is surprising and kind of shocking and dismaying. And the whole thing about this this ridiculous film that was made by somebody, you know, it's not even clear if the guy was an American citizen who made the film, or, you know, is there even a film, or is it just a clip on YouTube? That's what we're talking about here. That's all we're talking about, is something that was leaked and resulted in these mobs of people storming embassies and killing other people. There have been roadside bombs and all kinds of attacks on people because the mobs believe that the Prophet Muhammad was insulted. And, you know, I don't believe in insulting people's religious beliefs. I really don't. And that goes for Catholicism, Judaism, Islam, everything. Well, yeah, even Scientology. Okay, but I do believe in being critical of the entities in question and showing how they're being hypocritical and how they're manipulating people. But the actual beliefs that people hold dear, I think that's something that you kind of have to respect. And not enough of us do that. And that goes across the board. No question about that. But I have no hesitation saying that people involved in these kinds of actions or reactions are stupid. Very, very stupid. And they are being manipulated. And you know who's manipulating them? Who is it that showed excerpts of this film on television in countries like Libya and Egypt? Who is doing that? Those are the people that are not stupid. Those are the smart people that are manipulating mobs and getting them to kill people and to rise up in outrage. You know, I think Prophet Muhammad and Jesus Christ and Buddha and all these guys can handle an insult. I don't think that's something that that would completely destroy them. I think they would be the first to say that if somebody insults you unjustly, then you have to exhibit forgiveness and understanding. And that's a true sign of strength. But we're sure not seeing that, are we? And the basic misunderstanding of what this film represents. Anybody can make any kind of film anywhere in this country, pretty much. There are exceptions, but this kind of thing, it's protected speech. It's really bad. I saw part of it. The production value, for one thing, is more of an insult than anything else. But the whole idea behind it is obviously to foster hatred. But for the same reason we protect neo-Nazis when they march down the street, or the Ku Klux Klan, or any of these other organizations of vile people. Because we hopefully believe that individuals have enough sense to make up their own minds and do what's right. And if we feel threatened by such fringe organizations that are filled with hatred, if we feel threatened by them, then it says something about our current culture and how insecure we are. And I think a good parallel can be drawn to how we reacted to 9/11 in the 11 years since, where we've completely changed our society and acted in ways that have pretty much dismantled freedom in this nation on so many levels. And that just simply represented how insecure we felt about ourselves. We thought we couldn't stand up to what we perceive as evil. And we had to dish out a little evil of our own to make us stronger, curb those freedoms a bit. The exact opposite way that Norway dealt with their tragedy, where they refused to change their value system. They refused to become a nation of fences and walls. But they recognize that, yeah, there are a few madmen out there that occasionally will do reprehensible things. But it would be more reprehensible to lose who we are as a result of that. And then, you know, more stupidity. This is what we really need. China and Japan. Oh, my God. What's going on with these guys? I mean, seriously, you had these islands that nobody lives on that was owned by somebody who wound up selling it to the Japanese government. Why exactly? I don't know. And Chinese people reacting to this with outrage. Because those empty islands belong to them. Looking at this story on the internet here, protesters in Beijing said they were there to claim territory that has been an inherent part of China since ancient times. One woman said, "We are here to declare our sovereignty over Japan." It's a bit much, isn't it? Another man said, "If the nation needs us, we can all carry a gun to go to war." Because that's what war is all about, isn't it? Going to defend islands that nobody even lives on. Who cares? You know, this is one of these rare occasions where I'm calling for the United States to just move in and take over the islands. Now, why? Because that would unify Japan and China, and they would stop fighting. Yeah, we become the enemy, true. It's a sacrifice I think we should make in this particular case. We take over the islands. Japan and China are both really angry at us. But we stay there until they get the lesson. They understand. Then we say, okay, this was just an exercise. Now, you guys are friends, and you learned something today. You learned something. Seriously, it is just so incredibly absurd. And if you look at the history of so many wars that we've been plagued by over the millennia, so many of them were started for such absurd reasons. World War I, for instance. You know, standing in the streets of Sarajevo at the location where it actually began, you realize what a tremendous waste the actions of one person, even in that particular case, and what it led to. Sure, everybody wanted a war of one sort or another. And it seems in this case, in this particular part of the world, people want a war too. In the Middle East, people always want war. Even here, we are more than happy to start new wars. We're talking about going to war with Iran. Why not? Iraq, Afghanistan, they got canceled. So we need a new war. Always need war. But what it takes out of of us as people, all the potential that we don't get to fulfill, all the young people who die or who are maimed and forgotten as soon as they come back, that is all a waste. Such a waste. And the things we don't get to build because all of our money is being pumped into the war effort. But it keeps the people in line. It keeps them from asking too many questions or for stepping out of line too much. But it keeps the infrastructure from being improved. It keeps high-speed rail from ever being developed. And it really makes us stagnate. So, you know, I really hope this China-Japan thing cools down a bit, because it's really silly. People, again, are being manipulated. And we have so many other things to concentrate on. Progressive things. Things that will move us forward. Not stagnate or move backwards. It's been way too much of that lately. And, okay, you know what? Our final round of stupidity, because we really are running out of time and there's too much stupidity to go around. We should just focus on that every week, and we'd have to go to 2 hours. This is actually something good that happened in New York. The Board of Health on Thursday voted to ban the sale of sugary drinks in containers larger than 16 ounces in restaurants and other venues. That's a good thing. What is the stupid thing is the reaction that I'm hearing from different people in different parts of the world and locally as well. That how dare the government step in and tell people that they can't have a 64-ounce drink. Oh, I don't like that sound. You probably didn't hear it, but I heard something in my headphones that indicates something of an electrical nature. And, oh, that's weird too. Okay. This is like the Twilight Zone here. there's a machine that we were trying to get to turn on before, and with that weird electrical noise in my ears, caused by some kind of an event outside, that machine has turned itself on. That is odd. That is very odd. Okay, well, I don't know what's going on around here. But getting back to the big gulps, yeah. So people are outraged that government is stepping in and telling, you know, basically these sugary beverages are a direct link to diabetes, heart disease, you name it. Obesity, it is a problem in this country. And so, yeah, you know, they should be happy that these drinks aren't being banned outright. When something is a health issue, who is going to step in and make regulations to keep people from going down a really bad road? Is it going to be the government or is it going to be big corporations? Ideally, it should be us as individuals, but that's what we have government for, to speak for us. And I think in this particular case, enough people are speaking saying this is a problem. This is a problem. People walking around with these gigantic beverages, getting big as houses, being unhealthy for the rest of their lives. And basically not doing anyone any good. So, yeah, you know, this is such a tiny step. Such a tiny step. So you can't order a 32-ounce soda at a restaurant. You can only order a 16-ounce one. But has anyone thought that, you know, you could order something else? You can go back and order again? No one's saying you can't do that. Or is it too much energy to walk back over to the counter or to basically have somebody bring you something else? I don't understand that. So, yeah, this is a good thing. But you have to understand every good thing is going to be met by stupidity and met by resistance and basically people who want to tie things to the old way and not progress. You know, I was going to take phone calls, but I got caught up in this whole thing with driving and stupidity and things like that. I do want to hear what people have to say, and I'd like to see more emails come in. I don't think we get enough emails. People send us single line emails. I don't count those as emails. You know, they're like those tweets that go around. Yeah, people send us things like that. No. Sentences, paragraphs. Not so much essays, but something that people could actually read. Something that you devoted some time to. That's what I like. I like to see that. And most times I find the longest letters are the ones that are tearing me apart. And you know what? If that's the cost for reading a letter, I'll pay that cost. Because what I say is my opinion, it reflects nobody else. And I'd like to hear other opinions and have a discussion, a dialogue, if you will. Yeah, so, Emmanuel, why didn't you take phone calls if you like a dialogue? Okay, you know, a couple of things. I was involved in a rant. I had my eyes closed most of the time. And, you know, lots of times I go into delay and the calls don't come in. And we sound crappy in delay. So let's both pledge that we will have phone calls next week at this time. And we'll take those calls and hopefully have a bunch of them. But in the meantime, email us, otw@2600.com. And we'll be happy to read your emails to ourselves and maybe even over the radio waves. In the meantime, stay awake, keep alert to the news of the day and what's going on all throughout the world. It's all really interesting. It's all really relevant. If there's something you think we should know about, of course, send that to us as well. And, of course, something that you should know about is the fact that there's a tornado watch in the local area. Local area being the whole New York City metropolitan area, Long Island, New Jersey, Connecticut, all of that. So if you see a tornado approach, actually, you can't see tornadoes at night, can you? That's a problem. That's a real problem. But if it's really windy, it's going to be really windy no matter what. It's going to be really rainy. There are going to be some thunderstorms in the area. So probably stay indoors and don't do things that involve trees or being out on a boat or anything like that. All right, so Emmanuel for Off the Wall. Stay tuned for Finn coming up next. And remember, otw@2600.com is our email address. For Off the Wall, it's Emmanuel. Have a good night. Hey kids, Finn with you. Finn's Revolution until the 9 p.m. hour. Tonight, Daddy-O Grande, Danny Amos of Los Straitjackets, will be with us in a few minutes from now. And then a little later on in the show, about 7:45, we're going to have thereminist Dorrit Chrysler. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. And before we hear a little Los Straitjackets and get Danny Amos on the air, we're going to hear a little something brand new, like just out today, from Randy Newman.
George Washington was a white man, Adams and Jefferson too. Abe Lincoln was a white man, probably, and William McKinley, the whitest of them all, shot down by an immigrant in Buffalo, and a star fell out of heaven. I'm dreaming of a white president, just like the ones we've always had. A real live white man who knows the score, how to handle money or start a war. Wouldn't even have to tell me what we were fighting for. He'd be the right man if he were everybody. I'm dreaming of a white president, someone whom we can understand, someone who knows where we're coming from, and that the law of the jungle's not the law of this land. Deepest, darkest Africa, 1903. Little boy says, Daddy, I just discovered relativity. Big eclipse is coming, and I'll prove it. Wait and see. You better eclipse yourself out of here, son. Find yourself a tree. There's a lion in the front yard, and he knows he won't catch me. How many little Albert Einsteins cut down while in their prime? How many little Ronald Reagans gobbled up before their time? I don't believe in evolution, but it does occur to me. What if little William Howard Taft had to face a lion, or God forbid, climb a tree? Where would this country be? I'm dreaming. Ba-ba-boom, ba-ba-boom. Things have never been this bad. So it won't run the 110 seconds flat. So it won't have a pretty jump shot or be an Olympic acrobat. So it won't know much about global warming. Is that really where you're at? It won't be the brightest, perhaps, but he'll be the whitest, and I'll vote for that. Whiter than this, yes. Whiter than this, yes. Whiter than this, yes. Whiter than this, oh yeah.